Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Why is gold pushing to all-time highs? Simply because the cost of living is up almost 18% since 2021. The $34 trillion national debt has investors worried when this house of cards will come crashing down. This is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Text COAST to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. And to see how Birch Gold can help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. Text COAST to 989898 now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Constance Victoria Briggs. We'll take calls with Constance next hour here on Coast to Coast, so you chime in about your thoughts on the moon. Constance, let's go through briefly the chapters that you have, because they're all exciting. The first one being the moon's mysterious ascension, and I guess that's where you start talking about how in the world did it get here?
Right, yeah. So I called that chapter, I gave that chapter that title for that reason. You know, like I said before, I think the scientists have looked at the moon and, you know, said, what is it? Well, interestingly enough, if we go, I wanted to tell the moon's story, and I wanted to go back as far in history as I possibly could. And what I found was the beginning of the tales that talk about a time where there was no moon in the sky, a pre-lunar Earth, something that most people have never heard of or would have ever believed. There were people, I call them people of old, but they were ancient writers from Greece and from Rome and philosophers that talked about, several people, including Aristotle and Ovid, for example, talked about a time where Venus was the planetary body in the sky that lit it up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back to that time, and I just thought, you know, what a great title, because it just wasn't there. It ascended. It ascended as a figure of speech. Really, it was brought in. And so I went from that time of the philosopher saying, you know, it was a time where people were running wild in the earth, you know. It was a time before Mesopotamia, from our earliest civilizations that we can think about. It was before that time that there was no moon in the sky, and they had those records of it. But so then I decided to come forward with that same chapter a bit in history and talk about writings that are on the Sun Gate of Bolivia, where there is a structure that stands, a ruin that stands today in an area of Bolivia that is believed to have been an astronomical observatory. And the symbols on this gateway, which is like a huge structure, as I said, it's an artifact, and it talks about the moon coming in. It gives symbols and writings saying that the moon came in about 12,000 years ago, approximately, according to them, according to the interpretation of that part of the symbols, that it came in. And then when it arrived, there were storms and earthquakes and chaos on the earth. And that eventually, things settled. And the days, as we know it, are the days back then, were changed. The world was changed when this thing was brought in or sent in. So I found it interesting that there was a time when they said there was no moon, and then we can find writings that said that the moon came in later. And then, you know, as we've moved, I moved forward in history. But that was the main idea for that chapter.
Chapter two, of course, is Hollow Moon, and there are some who believe the moon is indeed hollow.
Right. Right. So chapter two is my favorite chapter because I am all over the hollow moon theory, and it ties into, you know, that spaceship moon theory that someone is living within the moon. And so we first discovered that the moon was hollow. Of course, we all know the story of the astronauts going and throwing that crashing that ascent stage into the moon, and it
pinged.
Ringing like a bell. Well, of course, it didn't really ring like a bell. It reverberated, and it went on. And they did this a couple of times. And during a press conference, NASA's a scientist came out and said, you know, it rang like a bell. And they were baffled. They said it shouldn't be doing that, you know. And so some people think that that is a conspiracy theory, but it's not. It's that started with the scientists saying it, and of course it took hold, and that's what they said. So so interestingly enough, you know, when I talked about those two Soviet scientists saying that there may have been people inside the moon, well, you know, if you go back and you look at that and you look at some of the ideas that we have of going to the moon, we ourselves are saying, you know, there may be caverns in there that, you know, for those that don't believe there are, you know, ETs in the moon, we ourselves, when we go, maybe we can turn some of those caverns into living spaces, okay, mm-hmm. Our astronauts. Well, it looks like someone beat us to that millions of years ago. And so within this hollow moon, there may be beings, you know, that own the moon, that have been there all the time. And so interestingly enough, you know, I used in my book some ideas but some similarities that I saw on Star Trek. And it was interesting, George, because Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, is said to have sat in on channeling sessions with a lady who was channeling extraterrestrials. And that Star Trek may have been inspired from those channeling sessions, right? And that some of the scripts may have been inspired from what he was hearing from these ETs during these sessions. Well, one of the storylines in one of his shows was about an asteroid that had been hollowed out, and it was sent across the universe. And it had a generational, it was a generational ship that was designed to look like an asteroid. People had been living in this thing for generations. And they were heading, leaving their home sector of the universe and heading to another area because their sun had exploded or something. So I was thinking it sounded so much like my vision of what the moon is. Gene Roddenberry wrote that, and then you hear, you know, the Soviet scientist saying this, the NASA scientist saying it's hollow, and then, you know, we have found structures on the moon, strange lights on the moon, you know, which just tells me that the moon may be hollow, and there may be someone inside.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
thought they were going to kill me. So I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chapter 3 leads us into an inhabited alien world.
Yes. So, to piggyback on my last comment about there being someone inside, the question that we have is that if the moon is inhabited, if there are people living inside or on the outside, you know, who is it? I wanted to keep this dialogue about the moon going. I don't want people to forget that there is something strange going on up there. So when I talk about the inhabited alien world, I want to think about who it may be and why they may be there and how they came to be there. So some of the ideas in this chapter is that, number one, the moon may have had inhabitants on it all along. Why do we think there might be inhabitants? Because we have found structures on the moon. All right? That's no secret. And the people, often when they're talking about the moon, and they're talking about the moon anomalies, they talk about the structures, and that's kind of where they stop. They don't keep the dialogue going. Well, if there's structures on the moon, who put them there? How long have they been there?
And why?
So, you know, we found pyramids. We found partial structures that looked like they had been destroyed. We've found, in our modern day, whole structures on the surface of the moon. Now, I've been talking about the interior, but on the surface of the moon, we have structures. We have lighted domes that look like there's something beneath, but then who placed the structures on the surface? You know, is there a city on the moon? Is the moon a foreign country where there's a civilization that has its own laws and its own rules? Did these beings come in when this thing was sent across the universe? Or are they the same? Or did the original lunar inhabitants leave and someone else found the moon? I think we need to know. I think we need to question. And before we start going up there again, we need to know for sure, you know, if we can, what's going on and you know, who is it? So I talked about this inhabited moon, and then I talked about the fact that, I'm losing my voice. I talked about the fact that in ancient times, there were seemed to be a connection between Earth, the Moon, and Mars. In our ancient writings, especially the writings out of India, we read that humankind had the ability to fly. Now, as crazy as that may sound for some people, it's out there. People think that these are myths that people made up to tell stories. It's not true. If you go into those writings, you can see that they have outlined the spaceships that were on Earth in those ancient days. They tell you exactly what they looked like, how they were made, and even the energy that was used to fly them. And it says that they left Earth and they could go to the moon and that they could go beyond the moon. So someone was on the moon, on Earth, of course, but on the moon as well. Were they connected to Earth? Were the inhabitants human? Did they leave here and go to the moon for whatever reason and get stuck there? You know, so that's what some of what I explore in Chapter 3.
And one of my favorite chapters, 4, Ancient Aliens and the Earth-Moon Connection.
Yeah, so there is a idea that, like I just said, there, you know, the inhabitants on the moon could have been human that got stuck there. There's a story out there that says that Atlantis had that same ability, if you believe in Atlantis, was true, and I do, that they had that same ability to be able to fly, and that the moon was possibly a territory of Atlantis. All right.
Hmm.
One wonders if we've had, five catastrophes on Earth, and one wonders if at some point humans, either from Atlantis or, you know, during those, you know, the ones that were written about in the Hindu scriptures, did they get stuck up there? Are they still there? Did something happen on Earth where they couldn't come
back?
Or
did they get dumped there? Was it like a prison planet?
Yeah. Also, are they, you know, who are they? Are they maybe, I call them the usual suspects, the Anunnaki. We've heard stories of the Anunnaki possibly being on the moon, you know, and, you know, you just wonder what race of beings outside of a humanoid being may be up there as well. Was it a colony planet, the moon? I wrote about that in that not just the theory of the generational ship, but could there have been escapees, refugees, or immigrants coming across our universe, and they spotted this thing, and they needed somewhere to go, and they colonized it.
Strange happenings, Chapter 5.
Strange happenings. Yeah, you know, the strangest happenings, I have to say, I think the tales about the lunar transit phenomena, I know you know this term, but for me, these strange lights were seen as far back as the 1600s when the telescope was created. There was so much movement on the moon in the area of lights and objects moving across the surface of the moon, that back then, when the telescope was first created, it was scientific fact that there was someone up there, that there was someone living on the moon. It was just accepted fact because they saw so many things. One astronomer reported seeing what he thought was insects flying across the lunar surface. Insects. And he tracked these things. It was this, you know, these, I don't know how they looked. They were flying across the lunar surface, close to the surface. And he, you know, wrote about it. And no one doubted him because I can't remember his name. There's so many astronomers, I can't keep them all straight sometimes unless I have it right in front of me.
Right.
But he was a notable scientist, and he saw them. They saw lights moving during a lunar eclipse. They saw different colored lights, all shapes and sizes in the craters, leaving the craters. And you and I both know that it wasn't just lights that they were seeing. These things were, we would say, UFOs, but I will just call them ships. I don't know if they had any idea back then about, you know, this in the 1600s about there being UFOs in flight or anything like that. But we know that they were seeing UFOs because even today, under strange happenings, you know, I can put, we are seeing what looks like fleets of UFOs leaving the moon. People have taken, you know, photographs and video of these things. What are they? And where are they going? You know, there's reports, one person reported seeing a mother, what they call a mothership. This thing was hovering over the moon, and it was so huge. And they referred to it as a mothership. It wasn't just, a fleet of them. This thing was like this. They described it as a large, dark bird.
Well, there was a Pentagon paper that said, if we're being visited, it's done with a mothership and smaller crafts that come from it.
Right.
Much like what you've said.
Right. Now, you know, here's the question. I mean, there are so many reports, and I believe I put this under strange happenings, of these ships. Where are they going? Are they coming to Earth? Are those fleets of ships that have been seen coming to Earth? Or they could be going elsewhere in the solar system, of course, but are they coming here? We see so many UFOs today, and so, I mean, I have friends who's, you know, you say to just go out and, you know, watch the sky and you'll see them. Are they, you know, the moon is the closest in proximity, you know, to us of all of the planetary bodies. Why, you know, why not, you know, that they would be coming from the moon.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.